Romans 12, and Romans chapter number 12, we are wrapping up tonight. Again, on Thursday nights, things we don't necessarily want to talk about. We're talking about critical spirit, which all of us have at times, and so we have to guard against it. We read, starting out, not evil one of another, brother, and he that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. We are not to speak evil of one another. We shouldn't, again, there's nothing wrong with trying to help our brothers and sisters and give them counsel and things, but a critical spirit is entirely different. Critical spirit is the very act that what the devil does. He's accuser of the brethren. That's kind of the best definition I can give you. And just always complaining about everything, everyone. Those people that have a critical spirit, it gives me a critical spirit, right? When I'm around people with a critical spirit, I get a critical spirit. I shouldn't, right? And I have to battle against that. So I say we all have a critical spirit. I've talked about it before, I'm that optimistic kind of person. I give people the benefit of the doubt, probably to a fault. There's some that just, they live to tear down. They have a better idea about everything. And they have a better way of doing it than everybody else. And you say, there's some things that are not just being done right. Well, I hate to tell you this. That's everywhere. I don't care where you go. I don't care what people. You go to grocery stores, and there are people there that just don't do it right. You keep going back to McDonald's in Goshen. And they're terrible. The only thing worse is Blanchester. Right? Right, Mrs. Haas? Yeah, she's amen in that. Right? But you keep going back, right? We get these attitudes sometimes towards people that we should be loving. And a critical spirit can destroy a church. A critical spirit can destroy your home. A critical spirit can destroy your children, your spouse. And a critical spirit is an act of the devil. And we shouldn't have it. And you look at things and say, I don't know what you could point a finger at the playground out there, but a critical spirit will find all the problems, even if they have to make them up. Critical spirit will look at everything going on in the auditorium and not like any of it. critical spirit will have a better idea of how Brother Sousa should run the live stream. And a critical spirit will always find an issue with anything and everything. And can I tell you, you're just making yourself miserable. Stop. The Lord is the opposite of a critical spirit. He is gracious. Gracious. Oh, that we had more grace in these areas. I'm going to preach, Lord willing, Sunday morning on the gentleness of God. We hear a lot of different attributes of God. We don't talk about his gentleness much, but gentleness is so important. So be careful. Even sitting now, you're just like, a critical spirit can happen over, you know, I can't believe he's preaching on us a third time, right? Critical spirit, right? Wait till next week. Next Thursday, the topic is things we don't want to talk about. Ready? Hygiene. Oh, yeah. That is next week's topic, all right? It is. I'm telling you the truth, all right? You know, I know we don't want to talk about stuff, but hey, it needs to be talked about, all right? God talks about it, so will we, all right? But in any case, now I just, some of you are like, whoa, right? It's awesome, right? Critical spirit. We talked about all kinds of things. I'm not going to rehearse it all because it's been a long sermon. But we started last time with the causes and the curses of a critical spirit. Hope you were taking notes. If not, catch up now. But you have to write really fast. Here's the causes. We have quite a few of them. The first cause we talked about is a sinful and a selfish nature. Some people have a critical spirit because they're just selfish. They're walking in their carnal flesh. The cure for that is to walk in the Spirit, as Galatians chapter number 5 talks about. And the way to walk in the Spirit is to be in the Word of God, to pray and talk to God, and then to obey what you find in the Word of God. And as you do those things, you'll begin to think like God would have you to think, and act how God would have you to act, and you're able to walk in the Spirit. A second cause and a cure is, number two, a poor self-image. Many people get a critical spirit because they feel a need to hurt others because they're hurting. And the cure for that is to understand that God makes no mistakes. He didn't create them by mistake. He did not create you with any mistakes. God is perfect at what he does. A third cause and cure is that the critical spirit has experienced little of the grace of God. They don't walk and enjoy the grace of God. And the cure for that is humility and repentance and confession. Because when we confess our sins, we are partakers of the grace of God. When we see how good God is to us. And we have to understand, when we're hurting, when we do wrong, does God show us grace? Yes. Should we not do that for other people? Number four, the fourth cause and cure is a negative and pessimistic nature. Some people are just, they're geared to have a critical spirit. You say, well, see, I'm just geared that way. God made me that way. God, I was also created with a very sinful flesh, but that doesn't mean I should indulge in it. And you may be geared to have a pessimistic nature or a negative outlook on everything, but that doesn't mean you should act on that. You should, matter of fact, change that. All right? And how do we do that? Well, you have to see, and this is our, we looked at this for a little bit, that interesting verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 16, but we have to see God's view of Jesus. And we talked about that. If you missed that, it's too long event, just go back. They're now all online. Thank you, Brother Joshua. He has spent 4 days uploading all the sermons that haven't been uploaded since January, so they're all up. So go back and listen to that. Then number five, a fourth cause and cure is insecurity. Many people have a critical spirit because they're insecure. It's a means that they try to elevate their own self because they have insecurities about themselves. How do we cure that? Learn to accept God's love and acceptance in our life. God loves you. God accepts you. And if you'll receive that, you'll be able to give that same grace to other people. Then number six, we saw, we closed last time, it's a matter of immaturity. It's a matter of immaturity. And the cure for that is to focus on Christ. Hebrews chapter number 12, to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have our faith in people, our expectations in people, they'll probably always let us down. But when we stay focused on God, our expectation is from Him. He will always be faithful. He'll never let us down. And we keep our focus on Him. Number seven, the seventh cause, and this is where we're at. In Romans chapter number 12 is our verse, but the seventh cause for a critical spirit is this, an unrenewed mind. An unrenewed mind. The cure is to have your mind washed by the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To the critical spirit, nothing's good. To the critical spirit, nothing's acceptable. To the critical spirit, they always doubt if that's what God would want. And again, not saying there's not times to be rebuked and corrected, but a critical spirit is just wrong, and it's a result of an unrenewed mind many times. The fact that this, they just haven't allowed the Word of God to change the way they think. Because if the Spirit of God is in control, then a critical spirit will not be present. Amen. We looked at this in our lesson on hope, but turn over to Galatians chapter 5. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think it'd be good for us. Galatians chapter number 5. I got to do this really quick. Galatians 5. We know the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is, everybody there? All right, let's say what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You know what you're not going to find in that list? Critical spirit. Matter of fact, that's kind of all the opposite of a critical spirit, right? I mean, they're all the complete opposite. A critical spirit's always tearing down everything or never acceptable and miserable. And love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Isn't that awesome? That when we are living under the control of the Spirit of God, those things will be evident in your life. And so I tell you, I know it's a blunt statement, but if you have a critical spirit that is in control of your life, you are not walking in the Spirit of God. You know, I'm not being judgmental. I'm not being mean. It's just what the Bible teaches. If you're all the time criticizing and pulling down everybody, and I'll show you that, because in contrast to the fruit of the Spirit is up there in verse number 19, the works of the flesh. Everybody look at that. See that? It's the contrast. The fruit of the Spirit comes as a package. If the Holy Spirit's in control, notice it's not the fruits of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit's in control, all of these things will be there. When your flesh is in control, you're going to see the works of the flesh, which means not all these things may be evident, but some of them will be when the flesh is in control. Now, what do we see? The first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Look up there in verse number 19. In contrast to love, the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and uncleanness. It's in direct contrast to love. Adultery is not love, it's lust. Fornication is not love, it's lust. Lasciviousness, doing whatever feels good, is not love, it's lust. Uncleanness, getting down and just pleasing the flesh no matter the cost, is not love, it's lust. The second fruit of the Spirit is love, then what? Joy. The contrast to that, reading the works of the flesh, is idolatry. Idolatry is putting things in the place of God. The Lord, if the Lord is in control of our life, the Lord prayed, Jesus prayed that my joy might remain in them. Idolatry is putting other things in the place of God, because if you have idolatry in your life, because God isn't doing it for me, I'm not happy. So we're going to put other things in the place of God. Love, joy, then the second part of the fruit of the Spirit. The third part is what? Peace. Look at the works of the flesh. Now you have hatred. Hatred. A desire to evil towards other people. It's the opposite of peace. You know, if I have peace with you and you have peace with me, we don't hate each other. But if there's no peace, there's hatred. Then we have love, joy, peace, and then what? Long-suffering. In contrast to that is variance. The word variance means arguing. Constantly arguing. I'll give you another phrase for that. Critical spirit. Hey, look what we got done. I could have done it better. You might could have. The next time, volunteer. Amen. You know, but variance, long-suffering. Then the next part of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Gentleness. In contrast, look up there in the works of the flesh, is emulations. Emulations is this, again, another word I can tell you is a critical spirit, but the word emulation means this, trying to show that you're superior. Trying to show that you are superior. That's what emulations means. Look it up. Wrath, another opposite of gentleness. I gave the illustration in our Hope program. If I, you know, tossed an egg at Brother Salih and underhanded it like we do with the egg catch, egg toss game, he's going to catch it and it's going to be done with gentleness. Right? But if I'm mad at him and I throw an egg in wrath, everything's handled completely different because I'm seeking his hurt. A critical spirit. The next, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, then what? Goodness. In contrast to goodness is strife, seditions. Strife and seditions. What is strife? It's a critical spirit. Strife is always arguing, no matter what. The sky is blue today. Actually, it's not blue. It's a whatever color you want to blow, right? Strife. Seditions. The word seditions means one who stirs the pot. That's my Travis Burke definition, right? But that's what the word means. You're always saying whatever it takes just to aggravate the other person. Another word for that is a critical spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and then what? Faith. The contrast to that, the work of the flesh, is heresies. It's the opposite of faith. It's believing lies, false teaching. Gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness. The contrast to meekness is envyings and murders. Envyings and murders. You say, what's that have to do with the critical spirit? Envying has a lot to do with the critical spirit. A lot of people have a critical spirit because they're envious. Envy, again, jealousy in the Bible is a positive thing every time. Every time you read the word jealousy in the Bible, it's a good thing. We just have changed the usage of that word. Our God is a jealous God. There's nothing sinful about that. The word jealous means protecting what is yours. I'm glad God is a jealous God. He protects what's his. The word that we usually associate it is the word envyings. Jealousy is protecting what is protecting what's yours. Envying is wanting to destroy what is others. And a critical spirit always does that. Someone comes in with a new car, you have every reason why you don't like that car or why they don't deserve that car. Someone's saying a special and it wasn't good enough. Someone's teaching Sunday school, they don't do it well enough. Someone's driving a bus and they don't do it right. Someone's cleaning the bathrooms and it just wasn't clean enough. Now, is there room for improvement? Always with everything. Everything. I don't know if you know this, but our church has some of the greatest piano players in the entire country. And I mean that without hesitation. I say that. I mean, unbelievable. A critical spirit will find something wrong. Critical spirit always looks for, because envy a lot of times, or the word murder. Murder. Obviously, that's killing someone physically, but also the Lord added this to it with your thoughts. Right? If you have hatred in your heart towards a person, you've committed murder. It's the opposite of meekness. And then the last one's temperance. And we see the contrast there in verse 21, drunkenness and revelings. Drunkenness is being under the control of some substance. Revelings, living a party life, just to mask all the problems. The opposite is temperance. But I read all those that say this, do you not see a critical spirit is greatly entwined in the works of the flesh? And so I go back to my statement. If a critical spirit controls your life, you are not walking in the Spirit. Because you can't. You can't walk in the Spirit and live with a critical spirit. Now, I know a lot hinges on you understanding and me getting a firm grasp on what a critical spirit is. It's not, you know, well, we shouldn't correct anybody. No, we should. It's in the Bible. We teach, we rebuke, we exhort. It's all with the Spirit, the right Spirit. A critical spirit is always miserable. A critical spirit never sees good. A critical spirit doesn't want to be around anything else and everyone else. A critical spirit will find faults in everything. And if that is your life, you're not walking in the Spirit of God. And what is the cure? You need your mind to be washed by the Word of God. The renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. You say, does God teach brainwashing? Yes. Because our minds, we're created with a rotten mind. We're created thinking selfishly. Babies don't ever cry for other people. Right? You know, I've never held, you know, one of my three children as their babies and there's weeping. Oh, I feel so bad for them. No. It's always self-centered, right? Everything is about them. Because that's the way our minds, that's the way we come. That's our sin. That's our flesh. How does that change? Only one way. The washing of the Word of God. The renewing of your mind. In other words, the mind begins to think correctly. Correctly. How God intends us to think. And that can only be done through the Word of God. Eighth cause for a critical spirit is a root of bitterness. Some people are very critical because they're bitter. The cure for that is forgiveness. Ephesians chapter number 4, pretty close, look at verse number 32. Ephesians 4 and verse number 32. And be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Some people get a critical spirit in their life because they fail to forgive people. They become very critical and resentful in their life because they're holding on to a root of bitterness. Now, a lot of people, when they think of a root of bitterness, they just, you know, probably start trying to figure out people they know with the root of bitterness. Can I tell you something real quick? And people can hurt you. I know that, and you know that. Friends can betray you. Family can leave a scar. But if you don't forgive them, it will leave bitterness in your heart. And that root of bitterness will lead you to have a very critical spirit. It will start only directed at them, the person that hurt you. That's where the critical spirit will start. I give you a simple illustration. I'll use, Brother Kuiper. I love Brother Kuiper's. If Brother Kuiper hurts me, comes and says some wicked things to me, or says he hates my preaching and hates the way I drive and hates my dog, and he says some really hurtful things to me, and he leaves, if I don't forgive him, you say, well, I can't ever forget what he said. Neither can I. Only God can forget. He chooses to. But God did say he would give me grace to forgive. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, and when man fails the grace of God, Hebrews says, lest any root of bitterness springing up. So what would happen in my make-believe scenario here is that I would become unforgiving towards Brother Kuiper. You know what happens then? I'll become very critical of him. Anyone mentions his name, I saw Brother Kuiper at Walmart. Yeah. That guy. And I become very critical of everything he does. But what does Hebrews say about that critical spirit and that bitterness? Lest any man fail the grace of God and any root of bitterness springing up defile not just you, but many be defiled. And what will happen is pretty soon, if I don't correct this, not only will I be critical of Brother Kuiper, but pretty soon I'm beginning to be critical of other people too. Because I've been feeding my flesh, I'm walking in the flesh, and your flesh doesn't know when to stop. And that simple act of unforgiveness will lead me to a very critical life where all of a sudden now, I'm not just critical at him, but I'm also critical of Brother Fountain. I'm also now critical of Brother Sutherland. I'm also critical of the kids, the teenagers, the sound man, the preacher. I'm just telling you the truth right now. And what you'll find is this, now you're becoming resentful towards a lot of people around you. And what you need to do tonight is come to an altar and forgive them. You say, that's hard. It is. But that's why God said, I'll give you grace. Why should I forgive them? They haven't apologized. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know why God forgave me? For Christ's sake. Because his Son desires for him to forgive me. You know why I ought to forgive other people? Because the one who forgave me for far more than anybody has ever done to me desires for me to forgive them. So I do it for Christ's sake. It'll take grace. But if some are honest tonight, if you've not forgiven, that critical spirit towards that one person is beginning to spread to others. And if you haven't handled it, it will get worse. Towards even the closest people to you. So don't allow the root of bitterness. Learn to forgive. The ninth cause that we have here for a critical spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. Again, not that all of these things will be a reason, but many times at least one and sometimes multiple ones. But our ninth cause is this: bad company. 1 Corinthians 15, look with me in verse number 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some people have a critical spirit because they're hanging around other people to have critical spirits. Say, what's the cure? Well, it's pretty simple. Get around spiritual people and separate yourself from the carnal. I mean, I have found this. Again, I'm not geared that way. I'm just not geared to be a critical person. So that's a blessing. I'm the optimist. I give the benefit of the doubt. But I have found that when Travis Burke is around people with critical spirits, Travis Burke starts to become critical. Because when I keep listening to it, it begins to influence the way I'm thinking. And I'm not just making up something. The Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. Here's a biblical principle for you. We become like the people we associate with. evil communication. It's listening, digesting what has been said. When I say bad company, I don't just mean people either. Be careful what you're reading. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what groups you're part of on the internet. Be careful of the books you have in your library and on your Kindle. Be careful. Be careful what television programming you're watching. Be careful. Because these communications, music, the wrong music will leave you with a very critical spirit. I've dealt with young people enough to know this. When someone gets messed up in wrong music, first time that I mention it to them, you talk about a critical spirit. Every time. I don't know what you're talking about. I know so-and-so and they listen to it. Well, look what this person does. Critical spirit just regurgitates itself, all right? Be careful, the company you keep can bring a critical spirit. The 10th and final cause and cure, not that this is an exhaustive list, but is this a demonic, satanic influence in your life? We'll leave you with a critical spirit. Because that's what the devil does. James chapter number 4, try to give you scripture with every one of these. James chapter number 4, where we started everything from. Verse number 6. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. A demonic influence. What's the cure? Resist the devil. So how do I do that? We just read it. By submitting ourselves to God. That's the first thing. In other words, I'm going to do what God's word says. Submitting yourselves to God, then drawing nigh to God. And when he does, when we do, he'll always draw nigh to us. And you know what the devil can't stand? Being in the presence of the Almighty God. When we submit ourselves to God and draw nigh to God, and God draws nigh to us, and we cleanse our hands, purify our hearts, the devil will flee. Some people have a critical spirit because of this demonic, satanic influence in their life. Because you're just listening to his lies. You're listening to his deceptions. You've allowed things into your life that is encouraging demonic influence. Things that are, again, the devil's music, wicked entertainment, idolatry, witchcraft, rebellion. I will say this, unforgiveness. The Bible says when we don't forgive, we give place to the devil. That's what it says. So we allow the devil to influence, and that's what he does. You say, but they do need the change. They might. But after you've, in love, spoken the truth and shared, the person you need to deal with most probably is then ourselves. Because you are in charge of your happiness. I don't want a critical spirit, neither do I. Because it begins to affect you in every way that God made you. We're made in the image of God. Remember where we started? We're made up of three parts. What are those three parts? body, soul, and spirit. A critical spirit begins to affect all three of those things. It obviously starts in the spirit. It becomes a spiritual matter in our life. Our feelings begin to change. And then it physically will affect people. If you don't believe me, I hope you don't find anybody around here, but someone with a critical spirit for years, it shows. Their countenance changes. You know that's true. Sometimes you walk into a room and you see someone, and I praise the Lord for the statement, zero pride at all. Right? We had, in our Tuesday night, we had several visitors. It was a blessing. At our nursing home, and this one lady came for the first time and was shaking hands with everybody, welcoming everybody. I went and meet her, and she said, "I just want you to know I'm new here." She said, "And I wasn't sure I was going to come." She said, "But I listened to you talk. I looked into your eyes. I saw your smile and your joy, and I knew this is the type of person I should be around." Now, I don't say that with any pride, but I'm just using that for an opposite. Have you ever walked into a room and you've seen the opposite of that? What's wrong with that person? Everything they look at is with those squinty eyes. There's no smile. There's always maybe a smirk at best because they're thinking how they would have done it better. Or they just sit there and they look miserable. That's what a critical spirit will end with. But it affects all parts of you, body, soul, and spirit. And to close, I want you to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and we'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Verse number 14 is the charge for us as believers not to have a critical spirit. Read verse 14 with me. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are what? Comfort the what? Support the? Be patient towards all men." You can't possibly have a critical spirit and obey verse number 14. You with me? That's our command from God to warn the unruly, speak the truth in love, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. So how in the world do we do this? Here's the great part. God tells us how. Follow along with me in these verses. Verse number 15, number 1, you got to remove revenge out of your life. Did you hear me? Remove revenge. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Verse number 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." See, but they hurt me. But they're not doing it like I would. You don't need to respond to their error by error. Let go. Let go. Remove revenge out of your vocabulary. Verse number 16, choose to be glad. What's verse 16 say? Rejoice evermore. A critical spirit has a hard time rejoicing. It kind of doesn't work that way. I've never seen a critical spirit be like, "Yeah, they're terrible. They can't do it right. I could do so much better. Why don't they do it? I'm so happy." It just doesn't happen. So verse 14 is the charge not to have a critical spirit. So in order to do that, we got to remove revenge. We got to choose to be glad, rejoice evermore. Verse number 17, pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. You say, "But I am concerned about a situation." Okay. Pray. Rejoice evermore. Pray. And understand, I'll let God handle this. Now again, I'm not saying not to correct anything, because that's what verse number 14 says. What if someone's unruly? What are you supposed to do? Verse 14. Warn them. If someone's not doing right, warn them. But there's a big difference between going to a brother or sister and warning them in love and sitting back and saying they're terrible. Big difference. So we remove revenge, we choose to be glad, we pray, and in verse number 18, "In everything give what? Be thankful." Let me tell you what will get rid of a critical spirit. Start praising God. Thanking God for all of his blessings in your life. Start looking at all that God is doing for you. Because if you are consistently thanking God every day for his blessings in your life, it's hard to be critical. Remove revenge, 15. Verse 16, choose to be glad. Verse 17, pray. Verse 18, be thankful. Verse number 19, quench not the spirit. In other words, get the influences, the bad ones, out of your life. Quit allowing sin into your life, the things that you know are against the Word of God, because as you're doing that, you're quenching the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're quenching the Holy Spirit of God, you can't walk in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to be indulging in the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh always includes a critical spirit. So quench not the Spirit. Number 6, verse number 20. Make preaching precious. Despise not prophesyings. Make preaching precious. You know what a critical spirit does? They don't like preaching. Unless we're getting on to Brother Joshua. Then the critical spirit's like, oh yeah. Preach it, preacher, right? But when the topic's on a critical spirit, oof. When I say make preaching precious, it means this, that every time the Word of God's open, what does God want me to learn? You see, we despise prophesyings or preaching when we deflect it. Again, that word despising, it has the connotation of hating it, but it doesn't start with hatred. Usually it starts with, it's not for me. We're all about someone else getting it. You say, how do I know if I'm in danger of that? Well, when was the last time God spoke to your heart about something? You say, well, you're a terrible preacher. I won't argue that, but this book is awesome. And if this book is being opened, God should be speaking to you. And I do know this, that to best of my knowledge, everyone who stands behind this pulpit is giving what the Word of God says. Amen. Or else they're not going to stand behind this pulpit. Amen. Amen. So when was the last time you bowed the knee during an invitation because God spoke to you about something? When was the last time you left church thanking God that He revealed something in your life? If rather you find yourself in the car talking to other people about who you hope heard that message, you got a critical spirit. Make preaching precious. Verse number 21, prove all things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. See, what does that mean? Your whole life, is it right according to this book? Remember the Bereans, how they were commended in the Bible? Because they searched the Scriptures daily. Did they have a critical spirit towards Paul's preaching? No. God would have never commended them. But what did they do? When they heard the preaching, they said, I'm going to study that. Right? They were proving all things. Well, that's not a critical. They weren't sitting there saying, I don't like Paul, I'm going to show him. No, they were like, wow, and they delved into it and tried to find more on it. Prove all things. Take this book and study. Verse number 22. Keep all the sin and the appearance of sin out of your life. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Quit sinning. Quit disobeying. And don't even act like you're sinning. It's not a joke. And then the last thing in verse 23, you'll have peace. you'll have peace. You know what you won't be if you do all these things? You won't have a critical spirit. Critical spirit affects all three parts of us. Amen? It's true. It does. Let's read verse 23 as we close. And the very God of what? Sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole what? And be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do these things, it corrects all three aspects of our lives. Body, soul, and spirit. It removes the critical spirit out of our life. So I want help. There it is. If you'll just simply follow what we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5, and the very God of peace, you won't be critical, you won't be looking at everything through that eye, the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Ask yourself a simple question tonight, and be honest. Do you have a critical spirit? Do you have a critical spirit? Not your opinion, but according to the Word of God. I'm not going to rehearse all our 10 causes and cures. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit, if that's an issue in your life, has already pointed out the issues in your life. The question is not whether He will teach you and help you. The question is, will you submit to what He's told you? And I pray that you'll come tonight and allow a process to begin addressing the issue and then following what we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5. And you watch as God will remove a critical spirit and replace it with peace.